Hello and welcome to this episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We are doing it remote today as I'm not going to be able to get to the studio, but I do want to bring you guys the most up-to-date wrestling news and rumors from the world of sport that we all love so much. And here's the thing, I'm going to start today with somewhat of a somber note, the breaking news that former WWE superstar Rosie, who made up the tag team 3-Minute Warning with his brother Jamal, and later would go on to form a tag team with Shane Helms. They were like the superhero duo. He passed away today at the age of 47. Shane Helms took to Twitter right away to send out a tweet in reference. I'll actually give you the quote right from his Twitter account. It says, "Heart-wrenching phone calls are not the way to start the day. Tell your loved ones you love them. Let them know." And obviously, he had such a wonderful relationship with Rosie that even all these years later, it still means so much to him. It's really a tough situation for anyone who had the opportunity to speak with him at signings or whatnot. Such a humble person, a great ambassador for the sport. Though his in-ring career, at least in the spotlight of World Wrestling Entertainment, wasn't necessarily as long as you may have liked it to be, it was still important enough that he made his imprint on the sport, and he's someone that true wrestling fans will definitely remember. And he was such a nice guy to talk to in person, and he was always willing to give back to his fans. So our most heartfelt and sincere well wishes and sympathy to the rest of the family in this time of need. I'm going to move on to the other news of the day. There's a couple little tidbits here and there, and then we'll get to a Raw recap. One of the tidbits is in reference to Shelton Benjamin, who a couple weeks ago had been cleared to return to wrestling action, and we have not heard anything about him coming to WWE. Well, here's the thing. When he was originally doing the vignettes about him returning to the company last year prior to the brand split, they needed as much talent as they could get to make the brand split work. Unfortunately, he never passed a physical. He had a torn rotator cuff, and they never actually gave him a contract. So he is not signed to World Wrestling Entertainment. As a matter of fact, he went to Twitter and cleared that up for everybody, saying, quote, "Let me clear this up now. I'm not signed to WWE. I never signed due to injury. While that could change, as of 4/16/2017, I'm a free agent." So that cleared up for everybody whether or not he actually was going to be appearing for World Wrestling Entertainment. As of right now, the answer is no. So moving forward, it'll be interesting to see if they're still interested in him as a talent. He is always going to be one of the best performers and best actual wrestlers in the business. But with the success of the brand split, at least what I would perceive as being a good success, I don't know if they're going to be as motivated to bring him in now that the situation is what it is. Moving on, Billy Gunn. For those who don't know, Bubba Ray and Devon Dudley own their own wrestling school. It's the Team 3D Academy. And Billy Gunn has got a history of being a great trainer for World Wrestling Entertainment down at the Performance Center. Okay, so Billy Gunn, at one point, he failed a drug test and he was let go from his position. He's gone back onto the independent scene. He's done some things in New Japan. He's toured all over the country doing various appearances here and there. And now he's become a co-trainer at the Team 3D Academy. So this is actually huge for them because it's a good get. You know, Billy Gunn had a really good career at the Performance Center. He knows what WWE is looking for, and now he'll be able to help another training school prepare the next generation of professional wrestlers in the way that WWE is going to be looking for. So congratulations to Billy Gunn getting back into the training and in a lot of ways the most important job of pro wrestling, which is preparing new talents to come up to the roster so we can continue to see this sport that we love so much flourish. Going to move on to the Raw review. I'm going to go through Raw relatively quickly. I've been told sometimes that I can be long-winded when it comes to Raw, so I'm going to try to wrap it up quick for you guys. First off, start the show. Braun Strowman's in the ring. He's shooting his mouth off about he's so proud about giving Reigns the shoulder issue and cracked ribs and all that. It's his yard now and this and that. Kurt Angle comes out, cuts him off, threatens to suspend him because of his actions against Reigns. He doesn't suspend him. Instead, we find out that he's going to be sent home for the night, and he promises Kurt Angle that he doesn't want to do that because now he's going to take his wrath and spread it throughout the locker room, essentially. So cut off of that segment, he walks out. We have Seth Rollins come out for commentary. Seth Rollins is coming out to do the commentary on a match between Chris Jericho and Samoa Joe, which, if you give them enough time, could be match of the year quality. I mean, these two people could tear the house down. Chris Jericho, even at his age now, still puts on the kind of performances he did when he was in his mid-20s. Samoa Joe, always one of the best workers in the business for his entire career. This match holds the promise of some really spectacular stuff. Unfortunately, in World Wrestling Entertainment, whenever you have potential for an amazing match, they cut the time on the match, and we get a snippet of the potential that sits there. The end of this match sees Joe lock in the Coquina Clutch. Jericho taps out. Clean win for Samoa Joe, keeping him extremely strong heading into the pay-per-view. On commentary with Seth Rollins, who is going to have some back-and-forth banter with him after the match is over. Joe's calling him out. Seth Rollins is jabbering back. At one point, drop some profanity, which in the PG world of WWE typically doesn't happen very often, but whatever. Samoa Joe actually says that what he did to Seth Rollins was the result of his benefactor, Triple H, you know, so, and that was because what Rollins did to Triple H and his wife, Stephanie. So we'll see how this progresses. I don't like that they're setting this match up with only 2 weeks before the pay-per-view. I understand WWE's been putting together a lot more pay-per-views lately, but they really need to focus on storyline development. And the storylines we don't care to hear about, they develop for forever, and the ones that would actually be interesting, they take no time to develop. I've been seeing Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman for 3-4 months now. I'm tired of that, and they keep doing that to death. Then you got this that actually has the promise of a decent match, and we get a 2-week build to a pay-per-view. Doesn't make much sense to me. Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are on their way to the ring for a match. They're supposed to be going against Golden Truth. The problem is Braun Strowman is in the back, and he annihilates both R-Truth and Goldust, throws Goldust through a gate, pummels the snot out of R-Truth, and now they're not going to be able to make their match. You go to the in-ring segment after the commercial break, and you have Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson in the ring waiting for their opponents, and here comes Enzo and Big Cass. The reality of this situation is Enzo and Cass actually put on a relatively decent match. I have a problem with it, though. One, we've seen this match so many times in the last few months, we really didn't need to see it one more time. Despite the fact that the teams actually put on a pretty competitive match this time, what I don't like is the end of the match. Anderson throws Enzo into the turnbuckle chest first, and then he goes for the pin, and he pins Enzo, and Anderson and Gallows win. Now, first off, I have no problem with Anderson and Gallows winning. I have no problem with them pinning Enzo cleanly. Don't do it with him throwing him into a corner turnbuckle. You know, we've seen recently there have been posts online about how Vince McMahon likes to see Enzo thrown around like a rag doll. That sounds great, but it's burying the tag team. And if you're just going to keep burying the tag team, split them up now and start promoting Cass. Do something with somebody. Move Enzo to 205 Live or do something where you're not destroying their characters. Because honestly, it's getting to that point where you're going to make it so no one's going to care about them going forward if you can't start doing something of more substance. Miz TV has Miz and Maurice out. They're going to bring out Dean Ambrose where they're going to do that whole real life fictional combination thing again with him like they did with John Cena, talking about where his spot on the card has been for the last year. World champion, blah, blah, blah. Now he's, you know, Intercontinental Champion, getting switched to a different brand, hasn't found his place. They make fun of what his impact on the Intercontinental title has been. He defends it a little bit verbally and then physically, attacks The Miz, lays him out. Miz's wife, Maurice, hits him in the back. He turns around to go after her. When The Miz tries to hit the skull-crushing finale, he blocks it, turns around, almost hits Dirty Deeds, and The Miz takes a powder, jumps out of the ring. If you can't tell from my lack of enthusiasm about this, this match was only done 3 months ago. You know, he won the Intercontinental title from The Miz. Why do we move people to Raw to emphasize new, fresh matchups and enhance a brand and then give them a feud that we just had only a couple months ago? Doesn't make any sense, and it really defeats the whole purpose of this entire program. Braun Strowman's thrown backstage again. He's dragging Kalisto around in the back. He ends up picking him up and throwing him into the trash, acting like he's a rag doll, essentially. After that, the Big Show out of nowhere, he hits a shoulder block into Strowman. He slams into the wall. It's like a garage there, one of those pull-down deals. Tells him to pick on someone his own size, obviously setting up a match for later in the evening. Not a big fan of the segment because I just think that in this current situation WWE's in, with the conversation about JBL being a bully, etc., they made Braun Strowman look like a bully in this episode. I think right now if you're WWE and you're a publicly traded company, you stay away from that reputation. And instead, they just emphasize one of their biggest stars as a bully throughout the entire show on Raw. The next match sees TJ Perkins go against Jack Gallagher, rematch of 205 Lives match last week. Great match. These two, you give them like a Ric Flair hour style match. I can't even imagine the kind of stuff these two could put on for you in the ring. Outside the ring, you have Neville and Austin Aries on commentary in ahead of their tag team their championship match that's coming up. This match, fantastic. I wasn't thrilled with the ending. Austin Aries gets up on the apron, and you have Neville knock him off the apron. TJ Perkins kicks the middle rope into the eyes of Gallagher and then sets him up for his detonation kick for the win. But at least it furthered TJ Perkins as a legitimate heel, and it helped to keep the Austin Aries Neville stuff relevant, which I felt like it kind of got stale after WrestleMania. So whatever. Backstage, they have Akira Tozawa welcoming Apollo Crews to Monday Night Raw. He ends up leaving when Titus O'Neil comes out, who pitches one of the worst sales pitches in the history of scripted WWE television to him, about, you know, signing people up to go on a cruise, on the Apollo cruise, and all this other dumb stuff. Play on words with his name and whatever. Worthless segment, could have gotten rid of it. Never see it again. I'd have been fine with that. There's another interview backstage with the Hardy Boys. Matt Hardy looks like he can't make up his mind if he's broken or Team Extreme. He emphasizes certain things one way. He tries to stay normal the other way. It's really uncomfortable in a good way. Jeff Hardy couldn't cut a promo to save his life in this segment. I don't know what happened there. Sheamus and Cesaro come out. You know they've got the tag team championship match coming at Payback. But before that, Cesaro and Sheamus did pretty well in this segment, and Cesaro says he's got a dream match with Jeff Hardy later in the show. I was actually looking forward to that match. I'll talk more about that a little bit later. There's a fatal four-way to determine the number one contender to the Raw Women's Championship. Sasha Banks, Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm very frustrated with this match for a very basic reason. Mickie James is not being booked to be very strong, I think because she had a previous career there, has already done most of what you could possibly do in WWE, and she went off to a competitor promotion for several years. The problem I have is this. When you watch this match, she is far and away the best wrestler in the match. She puts on a performance of a lifetime. I was incredibly impressed with Mickie James. And instead, towards the end of the match, Alexa Bliss picks up the win after she knocks Nia Jax out of the ring. After Nia Jax hit her Samoan drop on Sasha Banks, she kicks her out of the ring. And then, you know, you get Alexa Bliss to steal the pinfall victory, becoming the number one contender to the Raw Women's Championship. I'm fine with that because I expected that to happen anyways. But I really wish they would figure something more substantial to do with Mickie James. There's an in-ring segment with Kurt Hawkins, another one of these worthless times. I guess they did this because Finn Balor, after having his concussion last week, they wanted to have him on television, but they wanted to have him in a situation where he wouldn't have to take any bumps. He came out for like less than a minute. The match where he totally squashes Kurt Hawkins, another wrestler who should just either get cut or assigned to NXT so they can redo their whole career, because at this point, his character here will never be taken seriously. Finn Balor with the quick pin, nothing special to talk about here. We go to the backstage, Chris Jericho's cutting a promo about his loss to Samoa Joe, how great a competitor Joe is. He says he's distracted by his rematch at Payback for the U.S. Championship. I don't know why we needed this. You see Elias Sampson walk around the back too. I don't know if that's important. You saw that earlier with Gallows and Anderson when they were walking down in the back before the first Braun Strowman attack. I wish they would hurry up and do something with him. After the Finn Balor match, they have this Bray Wyatt vignette where he asks everybody if they're afraid, if it's an unknown or the monster that lives under the bed, fear is our bond or our common bond or something like that. It's just one of those really bizarre promos where he doesn't say anything of substance, but he keeps your attention. It's almost like an old Ultimate Warrior interview. Just saying. We have Alicia Fox and Dana Brooke in the back. They're having a conversation about 205 Live last week. Here comes Emma. She claims that Dana Brooke was making fun of Foxy all week. She says she doesn't want to be Brooke's friend anymore. Brooke chastises Emma for lying. Emma says she wants Brooke to stand on her own 2 feet. And it's just another worthless backstage segment. I wish they would spend more time in the ring than all this backstage nonsense that we don't need. Eventually, we finally get to the Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro match. Of course, their tag team partners are out there at ringside. This is actually a relatively good match. The ending sees Cesaro go for the neutralizer. Jeff reverses it, hits a twist of fate, goes up and lands a swanton and gets the win. It's just my opinion. I would have had Cesaro win this match. I think this defeat of Cesaro makes him look weak. I don't like that because I would someday would like to see Cesaro win the world championship. And that can't happen if he's losing simple Monday Night Raw matches to Jeff Hardy as a member of a tag team. It's just my opinion that they need to do. They could have done something so much better there and given Cesaro the win. Backstage, Heath Slater and Rhino are in the back. They pop out, talk about Golden Truth. And as they're getting ready to cut, you know, really go into their promo about how they were the first SmackDown champions or whatever, talk about arriving on Raw, here comes, they look scared out of their mind because Braun Strowman's walking by. It looks like they're just waiting for Braun Strowman to do something obnoxious again. We get to the main event, Braun Strowman versus The Big Show. A few weeks back, they had a match, but you know, and it was phenomenal. Vince McMahon seems to really love putting these two jacked up huge freaks out there with each other. And the problem I have is they're booking The Big Show to look like he's nothing anymore. And that bothers me. I understand the guy's getting close to retirement, but he's still The Big Show. Andre the Giant could barely walk, and he still would go to New Japan or All Japan Pro Wrestling and be a draw and look legitimate. This makes The Big Show look weak to me. It's just my opinion. The ending of the match, Strowman ends up getting The Big Show up on the turnbuckle, climbs to the second rope and does a superplex off the second rope. The whole ring breaks. We've seen this one before. You know, same thing with Brock Lesnar years ago with The Big Show, and it's happened a couple times now where the whole ring explodes from beneath itself. They're both laid out. Eventually, Braun stands up, and when he stands up, they hit his music. I don't think there was ever a declared winner. I don't know how you count this in the record books because he's undefeated, except for that one loss to Roman Reigns at Fastlane, but whatever. What I found to be most interesting about this whole situation was the incredible reaction that Braun Strowman was getting from the fans. They cheered him when he was at the opening of the show. They cheered him every time he referenced beating the snot out of Roman Reigns. They cheered when he said that Roman Reigns wasn't going to be on the show anymore. They cheered when he got up after The Big Show. They are fighting so hard to keep Roman Reigns a good guy and trying so hard to keep Braun a bad guy, and they're missing the boat because Braun is as over gets, and Roman Reigns just isn't going to be. It's just the way it is. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next time. We'll cover all the news and rumors in the world of wrestling, hopefully a SmackDown report by that point. And if you get a chance, pop on to www.tsjsports.com/WWE for my latest articles on the news of world in the world of wrestling. Special thanks, as always, out to bensound.com, purpleplanet.com for producing our music and sound effects, alleyrepair.com if you need servicing of pinball, skee ball, or electronic video games, and to the Game Crafter and Beasel Games, producing Sketchy People. If you want to have a great time on family game night, grab a copy of Sketchy People. Go to www.thegamecrafter.com/sketchypeople and pick up your copy today. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. And don't forget about going over to our website, www.frolifeplanning.com. For all of your higher education needs, new career, whatever it is, we like to help you do that because Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. And like I said, I will talk to you guys in a couple days with our SmackDown review and any other news and tidbits we find in the world of pro wrestling. Until then, take care, everybody.